Brent from Birkenstock Concepts by Heel to Toe in downtown Urbana. For over 25 years, offering all sizes and widths of Birkenstocks, from clogs and sandals to work, dress, and sport shoes. Birkenstock Concepts offers repair and modification services and a certified podorthist and orthotist on staff. Today's programming is made possible in part by grants from 10,000 Villages in downtown Champaign and Crossroads Global Handcrafts, 428 North Main in Bloomington, offering ground and whole bean coffee purchased from farmers using internationally recognized fair trade standards.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. First Friday of the month, that means Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us once a month to talk about dogs, dog behavior, training, caring for your dog. And they're happy to take your telephone calls this afternoon. If you've got questions, if you've got a story to share, give us a call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Good to see you.
It's so good to see you, too.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
How are things?
Things are fine. Yeah. Things are wonderful.
The Dog Club's annual meeting on Tuesday.
Yes.
September's a big month for annual meetings, I think.
It is. I'm organizing it. I was really strict. They had a cutoff of this morning or today to call me, so got a big turnout for Tuesday night. It's our election, our annual meeting, so.
I can't wait to turn people away at the door. Sorry you didn't sign up. Go away.
And how are your four-legged friends?
We inherited a dog named Speckles from my uncle who had gone into a nursing home. Speckles is kind of a mixed breed, a wonderful mix of a rich mixture of various breeds and not too big. Well, my uncle passed away last week, so Speckles is now officially ours. He's kind of a bratty dog. And when my uncle went in the nursing home, everybody wanted him to have a good home, but nobody wanted themselves. So let's give it to Jim. He's got 50 dogs, you know.
And so how are the other dogs relating to Speckles?
We've had Speckles for a while, and yeah. Speckles is not a big dog by any means, maybe 30 pounds.
I've never seen him.
He's a mixed breed looking dog. He's not somebody said yesterday, he said, boy, he's a nice-looking dog. And the unusual thing, it was at the reception. They had pictures of my uncle and his life going way back, of course. And Speckles was featured in as many pictures as any other member of the family.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, I said, oh, look, it's a picture of Speckles. Oh, it's another pic. Oh, it's another picture of Speckles. Still nobody wanted him, so we got him.
Oh. Well, I'm sure he's happy.
He has a Malamute as a playmate. He's happy.
Yeah. I think we've got a listener.
A caller already.
On line one, let's talk with this listener. Good afternoon.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We have a one-and-a-half-year-old Yorkie, and he's adorable. We love him. But when he was about 9 months old, he began to bark after cars and chase cars. And this behavior really disturbs us because we're afraid that he's going to, you know, jump off the leash at some point and run into danger. But all of our attempts to scold him or trying to get him to curb that behavior have come to nothing. And I'm wondering, do you have any suggestions for us? You can probably hear him barking in the background.
Is he waiting for a car?
No cars available right now. I think they're squirrels. So it goes from squirrels to cars. What suggestions do you have for us in terms of trying to curb this dangerous behavior? And I might add, too, that we just had a baby, and so that seems to have changed the family dynamic as well. And I'm not sure if this is in relationship to it or not, because the car barking actually started back in November, and the baby was born in June. So,
does he bark at cars or does he chase them?
Both.
When he chases them, where is he outside?
Yeah, well, he's on leash, and we're taking him for a walk, but he'll strain at the leash, and as I say, I'm afraid sometimes he's going to pull it out of my hands.
And when you try to stop him from doing that, what do you do?
I usually call his name and say no, no, and sometimes I retract the leash, too. I pull him closer to me, and sometimes I grab him up in my arms and say no and try to swat his nose and say no.
Are you able to swat his nose?
I'm sorry?
Can you land a blow on his nose, or is he too fast?
He's pretty fast.
Yeah. Life is merrier with a Yorkshire Terrier.
Well, as I say, we adore him in all other respects. So,
normally when a dog is barking, it's, well, not normally, but they bark for a few well-defined reasons. One is they're lonely, and another is that we run into a lot is that they're setting up an alarm that, oh, something horrible is happening, or some stranger is here, or some other animal is here that's up to no good. Kind of that's what all dogs were bred to do. And so trying to stop them from doing it is, you know, an uphill task. But because they, at least from the dog's point of view, they're doing the right thing. If you start punishing them, they don't know why you're punishing them. So if you want to punish them for doing the behavior, you have to catch them in the middle of the behavior and, you know, cause them considerable discomfort. So that might deter them, but probably not. My suggestion, the problem is chasing is also predatory behavior. In other words, they see something moving, they go after it. Dogs, and by the way, wolves, almost can't help running after something that's moving. It's just built into them. So they see a car go by, they want to chase it, or they see a bike go by, they want to chase it. What I would do is instead of yelling no at the dog probably doesn't know no, K-N-O-W, what the word no, N-O, means. So what you want to do is have cookies or some reward in your pocket. Go to a place where you know a lot of cars are going to go by. In other words, don't train in the field. Set up the situation. And go to a place where a lot of cars are going by. Wait for a car to go by. The dog starts to chase it. You give them a little pop on the lead. Call them and give them a cookie and tell them what a wonderful dog they are.
Okay.
This I'm only suggesting this. I've never tried it. Okay? My dogs don't chase cars. But if they did, that's what I would do.
So to pop on the lead and then give him a reward when he does not go after
the pop on the lead, you don't have to do that. It's just to get his attention away from the car and onto you. You know, you can call him or do whatever you want to get his attention onto you. But the chief thing that's going to get the attention is the cookie. Now, it has to be an overwhelmingly wonderful thing. And whatever. Now, I think $100 bills are pretty nice. The dog probably has a different perspective. So you find out what the dog really likes. Liver is off, you know, the standard, but it could be something else, hot dogs or something. What this will do is, we hope, a couple things. One, it will reward the dog for alerting you to the danger.
Okay.
You don't think it's a danger, but he does. So thank you very much. The second thing it'll do is when he sees something moving, and he wants to chase it, over time as you do this, he will learn, I see something moving, I always get a treat, but I have to go to mom. So it's kind of a behavior modification thing. He sees something moving, he'll run to you instead of running at the moving object, because he tries to run at the moving object and he can't get there, but he can get to you and he can get a cookie. So that's what I would do. Instead of being negative and trying to swat him on the nose, which, you know, you can't do, be positive, say thank you, he doesn't understand that either, but he understands the positive, and give him a cookie.
But this won't encourage his behavior in chasing after anything that runs or goes by?
Well, the point is, what you're rewarding him for the last thing he did before he got the reward. Remember that. The last thing he did before he got the reward was he came to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets the reward. What triggers it, we call it a trigger, what triggers it is he sees something moving. He associates seeing something moving with getting a reward from you.
Okay.
So, in other words, I never used to clean up my bedroom when I was a kid. I would come home from school and my mother would yell at me, Jim, you didn't clean up your room. I have the ability to accept that criticism because I can abstract, oh, I didn't clean up my room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, so my mother isn't punishing me for the last thing I did, which was walk in the door.
Yeah.
That's not true of a dog. You can't say I'm punishing you because you chased the car yesterday. You know, the punishment or the reward is the last thing they remember doing before they got it.
So the idea is to break it up into discrete units. The barking is one thing, but the coming to me is the thing.
Well, in this case, you don't have to break it up. If he's barking, call him to you.
Mm-hmm.
If he's chasing, call him to you. So that whenever he sees something moving, he associates coming to you with something good.
Okay.
Not as it is now, he's setting up an alarm. He comes to you and gets something bad. So the last thing he's going to do is come to you.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have to be an idiot. I think I'll go to mom and have her hit me.
Right.
No, he would rather keep the alarm going and maybe chase the car and get it and get away rather than come to you and get hit. So you just change that whole thing.
Okay. So it sounds like there's no way to really keep him from barking at cars, but there is a way to keep him from getting hurt
by
calling him to me.
But, yeah, he will bark until you tell him everything's okay. That's a point. No, you can't. You may not stop him from barking, but when he sees the car, he'll bark and he'll get a reward, so he won't be barking forever.
Okay.
You know, it'll be a arf arf good dog.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much. You've given me something to try, and I'll certainly put it into use. Thank you.
Next week.
Helps to put the microphone on, Celeste.
Carol agreed with that,
I gave him
a
thumbs up.
Yeah.
That was good advice.
Okay.
Carol's usually not so silent.
Huh? Let's talk with another listener in Wisconsin on a cell phone, line 4. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hello, I have a teacup long-haired chihuahua weighing in at almost 4 pounds. Got a very, very sweet personality, not at all mean to people. And she has accidents in the house occasionally, and she's just over 2 years old, actually more like 2.5 now. And she knows she's doing wrong. I've caught her cowering all on her own and looked at her and said, you know, what's wrong? Oh, and then I've gone to the back room and found an accident. So she knows she's doing wrong. And the way I've punished her, the way I have punished her is that I've taken her little head and her nose and put it right to it, taken a small paper and popped her on the back, just barely made contact, and I've only done that 2 or 3 times. Mostly I'll pick her up and after I put her nose to it, look at her eye to eye and talk to her firmly. And she still will have occasional accidents.
If you were the dog, what would you think you were being punished for? Remember, if you heard what I said to the last caller, dogs accept punishment or reward for the last thing they did.
Yes, sir. I heard that very clear, and I thought about that.
Okay. You come home, and you punish the dog. Is the dog being punished because you came home? If you show the dog the mess, it would be a remarkable dog that would associate the mess on the floor with themselves.
Okay.
And certainly after a few minutes, they wouldn't associate it with themselves at all.
Okay.
Normally, to stop that kind of thing, you got to catch them right in the act. You know.
Okay, which has been done often, and so therefore, even 1 minute afterwards probably wouldn't count.
I would say it's a matter of seconds afterwards.
Okay.
Because if the dog does anything else, for example, if it messes and then jumps on the couch, and you either reward or punish, it doesn't matter which, the dog will think it's being rewarded or punished for jumping on the couch,
okay,
not because it did something else. The other thing is most of the people I know, and certainly all the dogs I know, go to the bathroom. So very few of us think that it's wrong to do that. So when you come home and the dog, when you say, the dog knows she's done wrong, probably not. What the dog...
Well, sir, I would like to clarify that for my own defense. Never has it been, when I come home. It's always immediately.
Okay.
Afterwards.
Well, but I just...
I certainly understand that.
Yeah, it's... If you want, what you can do is get a mess from outside that she's done, bring it in the house and put it down and show it to her and see what she does. She will probably act exactly the same way. She will act like she, quote, did something wrong. Why? Because she's punished for what? For there being a mess on the floor and you being there showing it to her. All right? That's what she associates with. Not that she did it herself, but that situation exists.
That's interesting. Yet I do reward her very well when we walk outside.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's okay. Good. How do you stop her from messing in the house?
Well, more or less, I just... Are you telling me, or
no? I'm thinking out loud.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I'm turning to Carol. If this is a 2-year-old dog and she's still doing it, does she do this shortly after meals or something like that? She's such a small dog. She would have a hard time holding any volume of food.
Correct.
For very long.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
She's almost like a puppy.
She does sleep in a little boxed area. From say about 9 at night to like 7 in the morning, she walks outside on her own and goes immediately. So, you know, she does seem to be able to hold it for, you know, a sleeping period.
You know, she's not house trained. I think she's not house trained. You think she is, but you two haven't reached a level of communication where she can convey to you that she needs to.
That's very true.
Yeah, she needs to eliminate.
I'm not, okay, pay more attention to her signs.
Yes, and they can be extremely subtle. So it's something that you two are going to have to establish.
Okay.
And now she's a little bitty dog, but you might have her trained to go out the same door every time. Do you? Always use the same door? And if you've listened to the show, when I got my puppy, I trained him to ring bells to go out. He's a big dog.
Okay.
But he, you know, it took no time to teach it. He picked up on it very quickly. He'll still go to the door and he just nudged the bells with his nose, and that's it. It gave him a thumb. He figured out a way to communicate with me that he wanted to go outside. So you don't have to do anything along those lines necessarily, but you need to work with her and figure out what she wants. And she needs to figure out how to tell you what she needs.
Okay.
And you can do that.
Could, and there's an outside chance, and whenever you have a house soiling problem, it could be some sort of infection or...
I'm assuming we're talking about defecation.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah.
And I have had her checked out pretty good. She's
okay.
A pretty healthy little girl.
Good.
She's just not house trained.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to be ashamed of.
That, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of people have that problem. They don't want to talk about it. But it's nothing to be ashamed of. And small dogs, little bitty dogs, are notorious for getting away with it because the volume is, you know, minute.
And they can hide a lot easier.
Yeah. With one of Jim's Malamutes, no hiding that. They make those big boys get trained real fast. But.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, their signals that they have to go out are really obvious, you know, but they're right in front of you all the time, and they can't hide behind the furniture or anything. So you can see them pretty easily and go to the door so that they learn whenever they have those feelings that they have to go, the door opens and out they go.
Okay.
Chihuahua's kind of hard to see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Treat her like she's a puppy. Treat her like she's a puppy that you just brought home. And start today, and you're going to start a house training regimen with her, and I'll bet within 2 weeks you'll see improvement.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Good luck. Little tiny dogs.
Yeah, they get away with that.
Yeah. But, you know, you're right. I mean, maybe the clues, the signal is
I'm sure she's trying, the dog is, because, you know, dogs don't like to be punished. But Jim's right. Robbie only had one accident in the house. because I wasn't home and Keith was responsible for him for all of 2 hours.
So Keith again. Huh?
Yes. And so it wasn't Robbie's fault at all. So you just have to, you know, learn what they're trying to tell you.
Well, another wonderful thing about animals is that they don't, they're, you know, they don't try and they're not out to displease us.
Mm-mm.
Well, I don't
they
like want, to look at it in terms of fault. You know, if the dog does something and it's something you want to prevent, you can train them not to do it. But we tend to put these kind of moral views on it. Well, it was Keith's fault.
Well, it was Keith's fault.
Well, also, we've heard people over the years say, well, you know, I went away and the animal was trying to get back at me. You know?
Oh, yeah. That drives me nuts.
Yeah.
But well, it would be interesting if an animal had, if
yeah,
a dog
I
had those kind
off.
Of...
I feel like I'm suffocating.
We have new headphones and they're...
I think
they're cool when you put them on. You're kind of cut off from the rest of the world, yeah.
But I always look at it from the dog's perspective, like in the middle of winter. Okay, some winter nights, like 20 below with the wind chill factor. It's freezing.
Malamute weather. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but, you know, look at this little chihuahua. Well, the little chihuahua's got to go out in this weather, mm-hmm. too, so they learn to be quick. And
well, it was Wisconsin, but I don't think it gets that cold up there.
Well, I'm just creating a little scenario here. So you just think, you know, they're probably thinking... These people are nuts. They expect me to go outside and go to the bathroom in this weather. But, you know, they do have to, so.
Yeah, I doubt if dogs think that people are nuts.
I like to think that they do sometimes. I like to think that they look at what in the world is their
problem anyway? You. This is the Afternoon Magazine, and we're talking about dogs today. It's the first Friday of the month. This is a topic we do once a month on the first Friday. Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they're here to answer our questions about dogs, dog behavior, training, dog care. You can give us a call, talk to Jim and Carol, and they'll help you out. 333-9455. That's 333-WILL, 800.
Carol's excited about something.
No, I just thought of something.
222-9455.
I should let Jim bring it up.
Okay.
About last Sunday?
Last Sunday. It's like...
He's very
like
blasé
rotten.
About these things, but to me it was the thrill of a lifetime.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Carol, what did you and Robbie do last Sunday?
Thank you for that opening. Robbie took Best of Breed.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes.
Who was handling Robbie when he took Best of Breed? You were.
I did.
Oh, that's fabulous.
I didn't know that I could perspire so much. I was freezing. But I was just, it was a thrill for me, an absolute thrill.
Yeah. Where was this? What was the show?
It was the Danville Kennel Club show in Georgetown.
Very good.
Yes.
Is this his first major?
That was his first Best of Breed.
I don't think it was a major.
It was a 1 point. Golden Retrievers have like...
Yeah, you got to...
We're
yeah.
really heavy on points. You know, you got to beat so many dogs, we got 1 point. But that's okay. That's okay. I was really happy. And it was a huge confidence booster for me. Because I just never... I was driving... You know, when you go to a dog show, and I know Jim and Robin do, you're driving along, you know, I think, boy, wouldn't it be great if today were the day that, you know, I achieved what I'm trying to do. And then I'll sit there. And I did this Sunday morning because it was so crummy Sunday morning. I got up early. It was raining. It was cold.
Yeah, it was like
crummy.
October.
And I thought, you know,
November
I don't
weather.
Even feel like going today. It's just so nasty out. But I did. And I'm driving along.
Two or three drops hit the windshield.
It was raining. So I'm thinking, wouldn't it be so nice if today were the day that I achieved this? Then I think, nah, it's not going to happen. Don't get yourself set up. Just go and have a good time because that's the primary purpose is to have a great time.
I thought it was to argue with people.
Well, or to win, but I just figure, you
know. Well, if you win, somebody has to lose.
But I thought, yeah, for everyone that wins, there's losers. But anyway, then I thought, no, you know, you can afford to think this way. You can dream a little bit. It's okay. And, you know,
dream.
Then you drag all the stuff in the building and my back hurt and my hair got crummy because it was so humid. And I mean, it was not starting.
My hair was awful, too.
It was not starting.
I handled Kurt, I think.
Hey, and you do a nice job. Don't be so self-deprecating. We watched him show his dog.
Well, I went in.
You moved very nicely.
I didn't have any bait. And
you didn't have any bait.
I didn't have any bait. Kurt kept looking back at Rob and going, this idiot doesn't have any bait. Give me
rewards.
Some bait.
Well, my bait bag, just as I'm going in the ring, my bait bag because I didn't have any pockets. So my bait bag broke. So I took some, I think I had rollover. They had, it's bait. And I stuck it inside the rubber band in my armband.
Oh, very professional.
Well, not so, because as I was running around the ring,
it fell out.
But I had no place to carry it. It fell out, and I'm thinking,
that's where the very hip handlers keep their betas.
But where else are you going to put it? I know, but it didn't work for me because it fell out.
Well.
So I thought, well, there goes that. You know, I just made a big jerk out of myself because the bait was flying as I'm running around the ring.
When people go into the ring or in any other aspect of life, they always think, everybody's looking at me. And I always tell people,
no, they're not.
They're looking at the dog. Mm-hmm. They're not looking at you. They don't care about you.
Yeah. But anyway,
if the dogs could show themselves, it would be much better.
Yes, it would. But all that aside, we have a call.
Yes,
someone
all that aside.
Someone called to congratulate me, I'll bet.
All that aside, finish your thought.
Oh.
All that aside, it was
she
a great day.
She just wants to brag.
Yeah,
that's
it
all.
Was. It was the
she'll never
a
finish.
Thrill of a lifetime for me. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. So. I was very happy.
It was
and
worth
I bought him a steak on the way home.
Worth the
and
20 bucks.
And I had hamburgers and he got the steak. Yes, it was worth it.
Let's talk with a listener in Savoy on line one. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have three male dogs. They're all fixed. And they get along very, very well. But when we go to the dog park, my middle dog insists on mounting every other dog that walks into the park. And I wondered if you could give me some tips as to how to extinguish this behavior and still allow him to be at the dog park. He's part border collie. He needs to run.
Well, you know, you do need to fix that behavior because that's pretty unwelcome by other dogs and their owners.
Right, right.
Trying to think of something.
It's a fairly dominant thing to do. In fact, it's an extremely dominant thing to do. And he's... Does he act dominant toward your other two dogs?
No.
Do they act dominant toward him?
No.
So he never tries to mount anybody? They never roll him over?
Nope. The only kind of dominance I ever see among them is when one will decide to wash the other's face. It's never any kind of aggressive behavior.
Who washes whose face? Is it always the same?
Or they all wash each other's faces. The oldest one tends to wash the other two's faces more often, but the dog that insists on mounting the other dog will wash the other two.
You know what's going to happen? This dog's going to mount the wrong dog at the park one day and get told
yeah,
off
exactly.
Big time. Has it happened to him yet?
No, actually, he hasn't. He's had dogs tell him to knock it off, and then he will.
Oh, okay.
But if a dog is not assertive enough to tell him to stop, he won't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very upsetting.
Well, how does the situation end? Do you have to go pull them off, or do the other owners come up?
I tend to pull them off, put them on a leash, and just leave or walk into another corner of the park. Mm-hmm. But then very often the dog who's being mounted will follow us.
Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't do it at home. That's very much dog behavior. You can't punish it.
You can try to train it. The question is, how do you go about training it? You don't want to go to the park, let the dog loose, find some random dog, have him jump on it, and then begin your training session.
Right.
So what you want to do is get some friends that have dogs and see if he'll do this in your backyard or, you know, in some other neutral place.
Okay.
One of the things is, let's give the dog that's doing this a name. What's his name?
Max.
Did Max do this the very first time you went to the dog park, or did he do it later?
He started doing it later.
Okay. Partially the problem is territory. In other words, if you're on a new, and this is a problem in training, when you're in a neutral place where the dog hasn't been before and the other dogs aren't claiming it, he won't do that. But as he becomes accustomed to a place, it's not that exactly he thinks it's his territory, but he doesn't think it's somebody else's territory either.
Okay.
So that's when the behavior will start.
Okay.
So you might want to try this in your backyard where he's pretty sure that he's it's his area.
Okay.
Keep him on lead. Have somebody bring another dog. Does he do this mostly with males or does the sex matter?
Gender doesn't matter.
Okay. And size doesn't matter, I take it.
No. Mm-mm.
I kept threatening Speckles, if you heard about him, or he kept threatening the big males, and they're all three times his size. I kept saying, Speckles, I'm going to open the gate and let them at you if you keep that up. So there's something to be said for that, but you don't want anyone to get hurt.
No.
But have somebody bring some dogs over and okay. see if he'll do it in the backyard. If he does,
yes.
have him on lead. And if you've listened earlier, don't be – oops. I hope that didn't go out. I just hit the microphone. Just have him on lead. Give him a little pop just to get his attention on you and
okay.
call him over to you and give him some food.
Okay.
All right?
Uh-huh.
If you can get a reliable recall in addition to this, in other words, you say, Max, come, and he comes, and it doesn't matter if he's got a rabbit or he's mounting another dog or whatever.
Uh-huh.
If you can get a reliable recall when you see he's approaching another dog in order to jump him, and you can say, Max, come, and he'll come, that would be good too.
Okay.
All right?
Yes.
But you want to have some command that he understands to mean get off of that dog. So
that sounded pretty good right there. Get off that dog.
Well, that would be, you know, any command you want to use, probably off or
something you don't use right now.
Yeah, don't say no. Don't say quit it or say off. Or a good one is out.
Okay.
It's a good command because it sounds negative. You can say it real quick
okay.
without thinking about it.
Okay.
So that he understands that when he gets on the dog's back and he hears the word out, he will be rewarded if he runs to you.
Okay.
So he understands what that word means. You're not just yelling random things at him. So okay. do that, and then just work on recalls in various situations where there's something tempting over there, and you have to be even more tempting so that he comes to you very, very reliably so you can prevent him even from, you know, starting it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Good luck.
Yeah, I think that'll
that's
help
a tough
a
one.
Lot.
Yeah, that's
it's
a tough. That's a tough one.
Because that's such an innate behavior. So,
well, and again, it's not one that the dog thinks is wrong. You know, or there's something evil about it. It's a fairly natural thing for, especially a dominant dog, to do. And it's an invitation. I'm on your back. If you're going to be submissive, fine. You know, if not, let's duke it out. It's just a natural. Hmm. Greeting kind of thing.
How long does it take to work with an animal before you've got that reliable recall?
It depends on the dog. No, no.
Depends on how much work you put into it.
You can get a good recall within a week. a really reliable one will take a little longer. But what that means is whenever you call the dog, in the beginning, you got to have some food to
right.
give it to him. You know, so that it'll, so you can be reliable as a source of food. So the dog always. I told somebody once who had a boxer, and he just kept running off. I said, "Just have the liver and let the dog know you have the liver, and then when you call him, give him the liver." How long should I do that? Well, he wasn't really a dog trainer or anything. I said, "For 6 months," because I knew if he did it for 6 months.
You'd have a result.
If he did it for that long, it would be pretty reliable.
Yeah.
But it much less than that.
Yeah. It's a great thing. I worked with my cat on this, you know, from the time we brought him home. And it's great. You call him, and it's okay. From one little treat, he comes charging out of wherever mm-hmm. he mm-hmm. is.
And so yeah. he works for a cat, so.
You don't have to give him a big meal.
No.
Just a little piece of liver.
Little,
yeah.
Oh, I'm happy, happy.
And be consistent, you know. In the first week or so, that's not the time to, you know, yank him around and say, I didn't have anything that time for you. You know, it's just...
Well, what's interesting, too, is you got to call him with that kind of a come hither
mm-hmm.
kind of,
what
have
I got
I've
for
got
you?
A treat for you.
That's exactly true, because when the dog is jumping on another dog, you're embarrassed.
You don't want to go...
You don't want them to think you're not a disciplinarian with your dog, so, you know, Fido, come here, and you do this kind of mean call. Well, if...
Yeah.
Dog hears this mean call. He's going, I'm not going to her.
Having more fun here.
Right.
I'm having fun right here. If I go to her, she's going to hit me.
Yeah.
So you got to be sweet. Fido, come here.
That's
and then
right.
the owner of the other dog's going, you take care of that. You, shut up.
let's talk with another listener. Caller in Southern Illinois, line 4, toll-free line. Go ahead.
Hi. I guess the answer is to use treats a lot. I have a 5-year-old collie and a 3-year-old corgi, and I live out in the country. When I take them for a couple miles walk, they the corgi will always chase any other dog and on any other farm, and I try to tell her to come back, and if she sees a rabbit or a deer or something, she'll chase after and not come to me at all. And I guess what I heard earlier is just to have a pocket mm-hmm. full of treats or something.
Yep.
Well,
I probably goofed up when she was a puppy and didn't do that.
Well, it's hard to say. There are things that are really fun to chase, and you've got a corgi that, they were bred to herd cows.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this kind of small dog that are bred and trained to herd these, you know, one-ton animals. So they're not afraid of a lot of stuff. And they see movement, and they want to herd stuff, and they see a rabbit, and that's about as tempting a thing as a corgi is ever going to see in its life.
Exactly.
And they're going after it. So when we talk about a reliable recall, it has to be reliable. I mean, the dog has to say, rabbit mom, rabbit mom. And the rabbit is with a big R.
Yeah. She does love food, so I suppose.
They haven't
can
come
I retrain
back.
Her at this age?
Yeah, but you know what?
Oh, sure.
Don't let her run free for a while.
Put
her on a long, like a flexi lead?
Yeah, I was going to say, if there are things called flexies. Now, I know you want the dogs to be free. I always thought the flexi was the greatest thing, at least for dog show people, because we used to have to walk dogs on these little mm-hmm. 4 foot, 5 foot leads. Now you can have them, you know, 25 feet away.
How do they work? What is a flexi?
It's a retractable
lead. It's
leash.
A retractable lead, and the dog can get about, the longest ones are about 25 feet. They can get about 20, which you can, which, if you have a circle with a radius of 25 pi r squared, I don't know what but it's several, probably 100 feet around you they can run.
And I can control the length of?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it retracts. So the dog runs out, they come back, the lead goes out, the lead retracts in, so it's never drooping or anything
like
that.
You can buy them anywhere, any pet store.
And you can walk with those. They can run out fairly far away, but if they're chasing something, you can, you know, hang on to them.
Hang on to it, because if you drop it, it's going to retract right up his
it'll
rear.
Retract. You can scare the dog.
It does.
And as a matter of fact, I've had dogs run away and kind of when I wasn't watching, and the thing won't retract all the way. It keeps expanding because it hits the ground. And
she's very aggressive, though, with them. Like another dog in its own yard, she'll chase it up to its house and I'll be calling.
Yeah, what you don't want, my advice usually is if you have a dog like that, you don't want it running loose.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefly because if a car is coming and they see another dog, they're not going to stop and say, uh-oh, a car, I better look both ways before I cross the street. They're going to run right in front of the car.
Do muzzles do any...
It'll keep her from biting, but it won't keep her from being aggressive.
And won't keep her from running and not coming back.
And as soon as the other dog learns that she can't bite, she's kind of
toast.
You know, she's going to be a victim.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't.
I wouldn't let her run free.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let her run free at all.
Well,
she's got to earn that. She's got to earn that right again.
When I do walk her on a leash in the city, when I visit my daughter. My collie will walk right next to me, but she'll just tug and tug.
Well, they're just different breeds. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to behave identically.
Is there any way to stop from the pulling, though?
I think you need – what's our phone number?
Yeah, essentially what you want to do is she's not what we call lead broken.
Right.
All right? Dogs have very, very, very strong necks, so they can pull and pull, and it doesn't hurt them in particular. It doesn't really choke them. So you have to – there's not much you can do except train them not to pull. And what you do is the standard kind of stuff that we're talking about. They go to the end of the lead. You give a little pop to get their attention, not designed to pull them back to you, just, hey – and then show them the treat and have them come back so they don't pull. And you do that every time they pull.
And that could be thousands of times.
Yeah. Or It doesn't take that long. Or other things you do is like you change direction. So you're walking this way. The dog goes out to the end of the lead. You turn around, go the other way. Then the dog runs in front of you and you turn around. Pretty soon the dog's going, I'm not going to pull on this because every time I do,
I go back see the
I'm
same
wrong.
Just
I'm
walked.
Wrong. You know, so I better stick close and keep an eye on her because she's not very rational.
She does when she's not on a lead. She keeps turning around to make sure I'm following.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's because she's the leader.
Yes.
And other well, I was going to do dominance exercises, but it's probably way too late for that. So I would just work
on
this. But you really want to be careful and look into a flexi lead because they give the dogs a lot of exercise, but they're under control.
Okay. Well, otherwise she's very charming.
Oh, good.
Well, you don't want neighbor problems and
don't want her to get hit by a car.
Yeah. If you're out in the country, we have problems around our place with skunks.
Mm-hmm.
And someone once said truly that a dog is the only animal that will attack a skunk twice. They don't care if they get skunked.
Mm.
And but skunks do harbor rabies. So if she's running off chasing animals, the skunk will, you know, they'll stand their ground and they'll fight. And all she has to do is get bit, and Lord knows what would happen.
Right. Well, I enjoy listening to you both. And,
thanks.
Thank you.
Where in southern Illinois are you?
I'm near Salem, Illinois.
Uh-huh. And you get us over the air?
If it's raining, I get a lot of static. I just wish you guys had more stronger signal, I guess. Because I can get, sometimes I can get WGN out of Chicago.
Mm. If the atmosphere is right, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to talk to Ed about that.
WILL is like the best.
Oh, thank you.
Send us money.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. And we've got one caller left waiting for us, so let's get this caller on, and we'll have to kind of keep it on the brief sideline.
Okay.
One.
Oh, I can do that. I have two corgis as well. Hi, Jim and Carol.
Oh, hi, Tom.
And one of the things that our two-year-old male is probably in the last 6 months has really started to do that lunging thing on the leash as well. The flexi lead is definitely a good suggestion. I found that really one of the things that we have to do is just be vigilant. You know, instead of just walking along with my head in the clouds, I have to watch for mm-hmm. potential hazards.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as if I see somebody on a bicycle, for example, or somebody running or a dog in a yard, if I see he's starting to make his little prowling motions, you know, the stalking motions,
mm-hmm.
if I go ahead and call his name and bring him to me, then he's fine. If I'm not paying attention and he sees the target first, that's when he does the lunging thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for that last caller, I think the big thing is
reliable recall.
The owner has to be the lead.
Yep, mm-hmm. and being vigilant and watching that behavior. That
right.
helps
and,
tremendously.
And as soon as you see the beginning parts of the negative behavior or the undesired behavior, if you take action and intervene,
mm-hmm.
then you can stop it before it happens. And that seems to be another way to approach it.
Couple steps ahead.
So,
yep.
just wanted to toss that in there.
Thank you
okay.
so
Thank
much,
you.
Tom. That's true.
Thanks for the call this
we
afternoon.
All, oh, sorry. What did you say?
I said thank you for the call this afternoon, and then I was going to ask.
It's my Sudafed. For my allergies.
You're under arrest.
Other than the annual meeting coming up this week.
Oh, classes will be starting.
Okay.
I think orientation is this coming Thursday night, and I'm not teaching this session. I'm taking a session off, so. And then I didn't enter Robbie in any classes, and the ones I wanted are closed. So we got rules to follow, and I followed them, but I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I didn't register early enough. But we might have some spots in home companion classes yet, so.
Okay, and the number of the dog training club is Champaign-Urbana?
It is 643-7733.
Okay, very good. And it's in the phone book under Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana.
Do I have time for a joke?
Sure.
Two female golden retrievers were talking one day, and they said, what do you think is further, London or the moon? And this is a blonde joke, dog blonde joke. And the one said, the moon, silly. We can see it. I thought that was hilarious. Look at him trying not to laugh. I thought it was a very funny
I don't
joke.
Get it.
Oh, you can't be serious. You don't get it. Can you see London or can you see the moon? Which one can you see?
Well, the question was, which is farther? And they say the moon because we can see it.
I think you did.
Did I ruin my joke?
You told it wrong way.
Oh, well, I still think it's funny the way I told it.
I got what you meant, though.
Thank you.
I knew what you meant.
Thank you.
Which is closer?
Good. Are we almost finished with
this
show?
We'll see you in October.
Thanks.
Okay. Have a good month. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana have been our guests. Jim and Carol will be back next month on the first Friday of October. 9 minutes before 2 o'clock, settlement prices should be in from the Chicago Board of Trade. Here's Todd Gleason.
Thanks, Celeste. From the Board of Trade, fairly light trade at the board on this Friday afternoon, and that pushed the market pretty sharply lower in the bean pit, down 16.5 cents in the Novembers. The Jans were down 17.25. Corn futures were off 4 to 5 cents for the day, and the wheat finished the day like this. The September with a high of 310, a low at 306.75. Settlement price there at 308, down 3.25 for the day. December wheat, 321.25, the high for the day. Low at 317.5 and a settlement price at 319, down 3.5 cents. March futures, 332, the high, the low at 328.25. Settlement at 329, they were off 4.25 cents in the May contract. 336.5, the high, the low at 333. Settlement at 334, down 3 cents for the day. July futures, 339.5, the high, the low at 337.5. Settled 338, and they were down 0.75 cents for the day. From the corn pit, futures under pressure. Some numbers out this morning from a couple of places. FC Stone looking for a survey of 10.887 billion bushels of corn in terms of total yield this season when the harvest begins in full across the Midwest. And the other number from Informa, that's formerly the Sparks Company, that number a big one, over 11 billion bushels on theirs. We'll talk about that this afternoon with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Chalmers, Indiana. September corn for the day had a high of 225, a low at 222.5, settlement price at 223.5. They were down 4.25 cents. December futures, 233.5, the high, the low at 230.5, settled 231, down 5.25. Hey, I did talk to the lawyer for the class action lawsuit for Starlink again late last night. He confirmed that the judge yesterday in that case did finally sign the claimant list. So as we reported earlier in the week that those payments would be out by the end of September, that's now official for sure. So you can expect a debit card in the mail at some time later this month with your money on it for the Starlink claims. March futures in the corn pit for the day. They had a high of 241.5. A low at 239, settlement price at 239.25, down 5.25. And the May futures a nickel lower on the day, 247.5, the high, the low 245, settled at 245.25, down a nickel. July futures a nickel lower as well, 252.25, the high, the low at 249.75, settlement price there at 250. December for next year down 3.75, with a high of 258.5, a low at 256. Their settlement price, 256.75. September oats for the day, 143.5, the high, the low at 140. Settled 143.5, down 1. And December futures at 149.5, the high, the low at 146.5. Settlement price at 149.25, down a penny and a quarter. And before we get too far away from the corn futures, this afternoon we'll get Monsanto's side of that yield guard story as it came out from University of Illinois and Mike Gray and Kevin Steffi yesterday. They called. I talked with them this morning. We'll have the second half of that story today during the closing market report at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock. From the bean pit, September beans, 623 on the high, the low at 613.5. They settled 614.75, down 13 cents on the day. Very light trade, pushed the market a little farther than probably it wanted to go. 623 in the November beans for the high, the low at 608. Settlement price at 612.25, down 16.5. Don't forget Labor Day Monday, and there will be no trade. January beans, 631, the high, the low at 615.5. Settled 618.5, down 17.25. And the March futures, 636, the high. Low there at 623, settled 626.5. They were down 15.75. May futures, 636, the high, the low at 624.5. Settled 628, down 14 cents. In July, soybeans, 639, the high. Low at 630, settled 634. They were down 10.5 cents for the day. From the bean meal pit, September contract, 176.80, the high, the low at 174.10. Settled 174.30, down 340 in the October. 175, the high. Low at 171.20, settled 171.50, down 450 for the day. September bean oil, 26.45 on the high, the low at 25.90, settlement price $26.23 for the bean oil in the September contract, down 34 cents, and the October is off 33 at a high today of $26.03, low at $25.56, and the settlement price at $25.87. Now here's Celeste with the numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
Thank you, Todd. Mostly lower day today for livestock prices. September feeder cattle, 110.10, the high, 109.10, the low, the settlement 109.40, that down 22.5. October, 107.20, the high, 106.15, the low, 106.25, the settlement, that down 45. November, 106.40, the high, 105.40, the low, 105.77.5, the settlement, that down 30. October live cattle, 83.20, the high, 82.50, the low, the settlement, 82.72.5, finishing down a nickel. December live cattle, 86.50, the high, 85.75, the low, the settlement, 86.05, that down 22.5. October lean hog, 66.10, the high, 65.02.5, the low, finishing at 65.40, up 7.5. December, 63.70, the high, 62.60, the low, 63.30, the settlement, that up 5. February lean hog, 62.80, the high, 61.80, the low, 62.20, the settlement, that down 25. April lean hog, 61.85, the high, 61 even the low, 61.30, the settlement, that down 35. February bellies, 97.75, the high, 94.40, the low, 96.70, the settlement, that up 167.5. The Dow is down 22 points at 10,268. The NASDAQ off 31 at 1842, with the S&P 500 down 4 at 1114.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is proud to underwrite agricultural programming on WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Steve Twinkletoth from Toledo, Ohio writes, "Dear Dr. Science, if there was a baby stuck in a well, could you train a snake to go in and get it?"
You could, but the snake might be hungry by the time he got to the baby, and, well, that'd be a bad scene all around. I'd recommend using trained hamsters. First, stuff them full of Cracker Jacks, and then send them one at a time down the well. Hamsters will instinctively form a chain and pull the baby up by the hair, or diaper, depending on the baby's position. Under no circumstances should you grease the hamsters with Vaseline first, or they might slip and drop the baby before they get it out of the well. Some references in the literature recommend hamster greasing, but those are out of date and should be ignored.
Thank you, Dr. Science. Send your science questions to Ask Dr. Science. Remember, he's not a real doctor.
I have a master's degree
in science.
Produced by Duck's Breath and distributed by PRI Public Radio International. To receive a complimentary newsletter catalog or to order the Dr. Science Get Smart Kit with new CD, screensaver for PCs, and a master's degree...